Okay, this is Chulin, Perek Chi, the ninth Perek. And we need to just remind ourselves, I think, of some opening principles of Tumah. You'll recall there are eight primary sources of Tumah. Nevela, Sheret, Zov, Nida, Zova, Yoledes, Matsoira, Mace. They're called an Avha Tumah, or Mace is an Avi Avisa Tumah. People, food, and Kelim that come in contact with them become a Rishon. Now, actually, people or kelim that come in contact with a mace, which is avi avos hatumah, can become an av hatumah. But we're going to be dealing with food. Food cannot become an av hatumah. Food can only become a rishon. So we won't want, so even if it comes in contact with a mace, interestingly, an avi avos hatumah, it still only becomes a rishon. So food becomes a rishon hatumah, called tumas eichem. People and kelim can never be less than a rishon. In other words, a rishon which touches a person, or a rishon which touches a keli, the person or the keli does not become a sheni. Only food can become a sheni. One other thing. So our Mishnah is going to teach that although even the smallest amount of food can contract tumah, in order to convey tumah, it's got to be at least the size of a kibbutz. So a tiny little thing comes in contact with Nevela, Sheretz, whatever, it will become Tomei. But to convey that Tumah to something else, if this is food, it's a Rishon already, so it can convey it to some more food and make it a Sheni. If it was Truma, it could even be a Shlishi. If it's Kochim, it could even be a Revi'i. But only if it is the size of at least a Kebetza. And one other thing I'd like to do in introduction is to say that a Yad, a handle, literally, of a piece of food, so that would be something like the stem of a fruit, the stem of an apple. Whilst, and it's not really fruit, you can't eat it yourself, but it's part of the apple. So it will convey tumah. If that stem of the tome apple touches something else, it will convey tumah. But it won't make up a sheer kazayas. So if an apple, not a very good example, but just a little bit less than a kazayas, the branch that it's attached to cannot, a little twig which is attached to, cannot add to the shear. But there is something else which is not part of the fruit, which is called a shomer to the fruit, like a peel. So the orange peel is also not really edible, but since it's a shomer to the fruit, it protects the fruit, it will also convey tumah to and from the fruit, and a shomer can be included in the shear. With that introduction, I think we can come to the first Mishnah, which is going to consider parts of the animal which are not actually food themselves, but are combined with the meat when you're trying to get the volume of an egg in order to convey tumah, or you're trying to get it, you may be trying not to get it if you don't want it to convey tumah. But when you're measuring up the shear, it, even though it's not food, is combined with the meat. And what are they? Ha'or. The hide, it's a hide which is still attached to the meat, is considered to be a shomer to the meat, it protects the meat, and therefore it can make up the shear of a kibbutzah in order to transmit tumah. Harotev, the gravy, if a meat has been boiled and it's got congealed gravy on it, we would add it to the shear to make up a kibbutzah to transmit tumah. Vakifa, even the spices, when they're on their own, are not regarded as food. But if they're on food, then they can be combined with the meat to make up a shear of a kazayas to transfer tumah. Ha'olol, the shreds, when you flay an animal, you cut off the hide, the shreds of meat which are attached to the hide are not considered significant in their own right, but if they are together with other meat, then they can make up the shear of a kibbutzah to transmit tumah. Similarly, bones, not all bones, but bones which contain marrow, the bones are considered to be a shomer. They're like a very thick peel on a little bit of food on the inside. The marrow is the food. And they will be mitzaref. They will join, even though the bones themselves are not edible, to help make up the shear of a kibbutzah. The hagidin, the sinews and such like, membranes, ligaments, nerves, all those sort of things, even though they're also not eaten as food in their own right, but once you chop them up into a sausage, you stick them in a sausage or a chalent, you can get away with all sorts of things, so they can be combined to make up the shear. But karnayim, the horns, we can't be talking about real horns, say the Mefarshim, because they're totally inedible. We must be talking about the base of the horn where it's soft and blood flows when an incision is made in them there. They also combine with the meat because they could be eaten to make up the shear. Beitza, fatulafayim, and the same thing with the hooves, not the main hoof, which is rock hard, can't be eaten, but the soft part of it at the base. Mistar from the tamei tumas hacholim. All these cases, all these things can combine to convey the tumah of foods. Avalo tumas nevelos. But not the tumah of nevelos. If an animal dies by itself or is killed in any manner other than a valid shechita, it's an avhatumah of nevela. And only an kazayis amount of the meat will have this stringent tumas nevela. And these things that we've enumerated, if they come from a nevela, will do not possess tumas nevelos, because the pasuk says hanageb nivlosa yitma, one who touches his carcass is tomei. From which we understand, dafka, you touch the meat of the carcass, but the bones, the horns, and the hooves are excluded from that. And again, as far as the principle of shoimer is concerned, that we said the bone and these things can be considered to be a shoimer to the marrow within it, that only applies to the less severe tumas uchlim, but not to the very stringent form of tumas nevelos. So that's what the Mishnah is saying here. Avalu tumas nevelos. All these things which I told you about, all these things can add up to the shear. That's for a shear tumas uchlim, not for a shear tumas nevelos. Koyotze boy, a similar kind of thing, where conditions are sufficient for an object to contract and convey tuma as regards tumas uchlim, but not as regards tumas nevelos. Ah, hashocha behima tmei lenochri umefarcheses. If somebody shechted a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, and it's still convulsing, it conveys tumas uchlin, avalu tumas nevelos. So here we need to understand that when you shecht an animal, you're not allowed to eat from it until after the pirchus, after the convulsions have stopped. However, once you've had shechita, it's not considered to be eva min achai, and therefore meat cut off before pirchus, before the convulsions finished, may be eaten after the pirchus has finished. It's not considered to be as though you cut off a limb from a living animal, because shechita is matia from eva min achai. So once you do the shechita and the convulsions end, there's no eva min achai anymore. Now, although a Jew's shechita of a non-kosher animal generally has no halachic significance, and therefore the animal's meat is still prohibited to the Gentile as eva min achai, that means if the convulsing has not ceased, then they were to take the limb is considered to be eva min achai, and the fact that you shechted it will not help you even when the convulsion ends. But nonetheless, the meat is still considered to be a foodstuff as regards to contracting and conveying tumas uchlin. Because at the end of the day, it's no longer alive. The animal is no longer alive, and the meat, therefore, is not considered to be eva min achai. And that is as regards to, so it's food, it will convey and contract tumas uchlin, but it will not convey or contract tumas nevelos. Because tumas nevelos only comes once it is completely dead and the convulsions have ended. Oh, actually, that is as rosha. Or if you chop off the head, then without a head, the animal is considered to be completely dead, even if it is still convulsing. Riba latame tumas echolin, mamashib riga latame tumas nevelos. And therefore there are more things that convey tumah of foods that convey tumah of nevelos. So we see, in other words, all those previous examples illustrate that tumas ochlim applies even in cases when tumas nevelos does not apply. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'olol ha'mechunos im yesh bo kazayis makom echad chayev olav. Going back to the Tana Kama's statement that shreds will combine with meat to make the requisite share of tumas of kabeitza for tumas ochlim and not for tumas nevelos, Rabbi Meir says, if one collects a kazayis volume of these shreds from the skin of a nevela, it does convey even tumas nevela. If there is a kazayis in one place, then you're chayev. What is the time?
It's 53.
Oh, 53.
You've got 6.5 in it. Do you mind?
Pause. I'll carry on. So this is...
Yes.
Mishnah base, Elu she'erisei and kibazaron, the following cases, the skin is considered to be soft and edible and is like meat and will become tome and convey tumo. Which skins are they? Ora odom, the skin of man, that will become tome tumas mace and convey tumo. The ur chazir shal yishuv, and as far as nevela is concerned, the skin of the domestic pig is soft and edible. Rabbi Yosi Omer af oit chazir habar, the skin of the wild pig as well, says Rabbi Yosi. Va'ura hachuteres shel gomol harako, the skin of the hump of the young camel. Va'ura harush shel egel harach, the skin on the head of a young calf. Va'ura haparosis, the skin of the hooves. Difficult to understand what is the skin of the hooves, but one pshat is that it means the skin of the lower part of the leg as it gets near the hooves. It's a soft skin. Ve'ur beis ha-boishes, the skin of the genitalia of a female animal. Ve'ur ha-shalil, the skin of the fetus found in the womb of a dead animal. Ve'ur shetachas ha-alia, the skin under the tail. Ve'ur ha-noka, strangely, the skin of a hedgehog. I thought it was rather prickly, but maybe when you've taken out the prickles, the skin should have been plucked, maybe. The skin underneath it is soft. Ve'akoyach, ve'halto'ah, ve'achoymet, the chameleon, the lizard, and the snail. These are four of the eight species of sherets, which the Torah specifies, which convey tumas sherets. They've all got a soft skin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer halatar kachulda. The lizard is like the... He disagrees, and he says the lizard does not have a soft skin, but rather it's like the weasel and the other types of the shrotim, where the skin is considered hard and is not flesh. But any of these skins, which we said can be regarded as flesh, that is only if you don't process them in a tannery. But if you tan them, or even if you do the treading stage when they were spread out and trodden on, which is the beginning of the tanning process, then tahirin, then they're no longer considered as flesh at all, but they are considered as leather. But an exception to that is ur ha'odom, skin of man, even if it has been tanned or trodden upon, it is still considered as skin. And most interesting, and it conveys tumor. And Forshim seem to say that actually the Araisa, it does not convey tumor. But Midrabonon, they made a gezeira, so that people shouldn't make bedspreads out of the skins of their departed parents in order to remember them. Bizarre idea. Reuch Menuri Omer, one line if I may. Shmoni Shirotzim, Yeshlem Oiroiz. He holds the eight Shirotzim listed in the Torah and are not regarded as flesh and are never regarded as flesh, all of the eight of them, and therefore they do not convey tumor. They're regarded as skin and not as flesh. Right.